Let us join together in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, creator of the stars of night, companion at the evening table, breath over the deep waters. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy and gracious God, we confess that we have sinned against you this day. Some of our sin we know, the thoughts and words and deeds of which we are ashamed, but some is known only to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask forgiveness. Deliver us and restore us, that we may rest in peace. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world and rescued us from the hopelessness of death. Lead us into your light, that all our deeds may reflect your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Numbers, the 21st chapter. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent, set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and shall live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When I first got to meet with Pastor Pam and Pastor Steve, I was told that during the season of Lent here at Lord of Life, all of the sermons are going to be based on stories from the Old Testament, which was gratifying because, in my humble opinion, oftentimes in the Lutheran Church, the Old Testament doesn't get the love and the attention it so richly deserves. And then Pastor Steve said, and Jeff, your first sermon, it'll be based on a story from the book of Numbers. I was a little apprehensive. The book of Numbers is not a book I'm intimately familiar with in the Bible. And he continued. He said, yeah, it's that story where the children of Israel rebel against God and there's snakes and people die and then there's a bronze serpent on a pole and people live. And then I was truly apprehensive. I did some thinking. I do not believe in 38 years of parish ministry have I ever once preached on this story. Because in a Bible filled with the strange and the bizarre, this story may be among the strangest. So just to recap, the children of Israel have been wandering in that desert for 40 years, and they have just about had it. And you can't really blame them. When they started out, they were promised a land flowing with milk and honey. And for the last 40 years, it has been desert and it has been dunes, and they are not happy. They complain. They don't like the view. They don't like the neighborhood. They don't like the neighbors, and they especially don't like the menu. And as the Bible says, they turn their back on God and they rebel against Moses. Another way to put that is that they sinned. Well, I confess, I didn't have a clue as to what to do with this story. I mean, what do you do with a story dealing with snakes and bronze snakes and an angry God and a rebellious people? So I went home and I thought about it, ruminated upon it, and finally, after a time, it occurred to me that this story, as strange and bizarre as it is, it's not just their story. This story it's my story, and it's your story as well. I always thought it would be interesting if we could maybe take an impromptu poll of any given church service and ask people, if you had to pick, if you had to choose, what would be your favorite part of the worship service? And I've only been here a little while, but I would not be surprised if most of you picked the music program, which is amazing here at Lord of Life. Others might say, well, Pastor, it's the Lord's table. We come together as siblings in Christ, and we take the body and blood of Christ. But if I got a vote and you were to ask me, my favorite part of the worship service would be the way we begin the worship service. We used to call it the brief order for confession and forgiveness. It's where we stand before the living God, confessing that we are sinners, broken, estranged from God, estranged from one another, and then we hear the word of absolution. I can still go back in my mind to my home church so many years ago, Christ Lutheran Church, La Porte, Texas, and I can still see Pastor Myron Hoff, the pastor I had when I was growing up, asking us to rise and confess our sins. And we would say back then, we are by nature sinful and unclean. But by the time I got to seminary, the verbiage had changed. We're in bondage to sin and we cannot free ourselves. And now the verbiage is once again different. But the meaning is the same. We confess to God that just like the children of Israel in this story, we are in rebellion. We turn our back on God. We ignore the command of God, we refuse to let God be God, and we place ourselves in the center of all things. But with that recognition of our brokenness comes a word of reconciliation, a word of healing, a word of forgiveness. Now granted, none of us may have wandered 40 years in the wilderness and been bitten by snakes, but we too have rebelled against God. And we too, like the children of Israel in the story, have been given a gift of a new beginning. Moses lifts up the snake on the pole with the words, simply look, and then you will live. Look and live. We no longer look to a bronze snake on a pole, but according to the gospel, we look to Jesus Christ lifted high on the cross for the same word of healing. And the same word of forgiveness. I mean, really, it's a story in two parts, a story of rebellion and a story of restoration. But in order to understand the story, embrace the story, understand who we are in the story, we need to hear both parts. Sometimes we only hear that we are sinners and broken, and we cannot hear the word of gospel. I had a woman in the very first church I served, Salt of the Earth. Man, she was there every single Sunday. She gave generously of her time and her talents and her treasures. She served on the church council on more than one occasion. But for the 15 years I served that congregation along with my wife, never once would she come to the Lord's table and receive Holy Communion. I asked her, I said, why? Always the same response. Oh, Pastor, if you only knew. Only knew what? Oh, the places I have been, the things I have done, the words I have spoken, the people I have hurt. If you knew who I truly am, you would know I am beyond the power of God's forgiveness. I would not and could not be welcome to the Lord's table. I begged and I pleaded. I wooed and I cajoled, but she would not, she could not hear the words of grace, simply look and simply live. She could see her sin with clarity, see her brokenness and her shame and her guilt, but she could not see the cross and she could not hear the word of grace, simply look, simply live. This strange, bizarre story is our story. We too are estranged from God. But thanks be to God, it is not the final word or the last word. That word belongs to Jesus Christ. And when we acknowledge our sin and look to the cross to live, we hear a word of transformation, a word of possibility, a word of the future which is broken wide open for all of us for the sake of Jesus. Because as the Gospel of John reminds us, Jesus came not to condemn, Jesus came to save. The season of Lent is a reminder for all of us that our sins and our rebellion are no small matters. They can't be scrubbed away quickly. They cannot be scrubbed away lightly. But the season of Lent also points us to the cross upon which Jesus was lifted high to bleed and die for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins, so that all of us who know we are dying in the wilderness can look and be healed. Look and live, my friends. Look and live. Amen.
Let us proclaim our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our response this day to the prayers of intercession is, "Your mercy is great." Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. Gracious God, your love unites. Give vision to the global church and foster cooperation in mission. Increase interreligious understanding and ecumenical dialogue. Make your church a sanctuary for all fleeing persecution, disaster, and war. We pray for the people of Israel and Gaza and those in Ukraine who are besieged daily with violence and aggression and oppression. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Creating God, your love enlivens. Restore balance to the earth's fragile habitats. Preserve wilderness lands and rainforests and wildlife. Cleanse oceans and rivers. Make us good stewards of the earth. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Righteous God, your love liberates. We give thanks for those who courageously witness to your liberating love. Free all people from the evils of racism, religious strife, and hatred. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Merciful God, your love heals. Care tenderly for all whose loved ones perished from pandemic disease in every nation. Strengthen healthcare workers, first responders, and caregivers. Relieve all who live with chronic illness and pain. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Incarnate God, your love enlightens. Open our hearts and minds to fresh understandings of our faith. Deepen our love for you and for one another. Teach us to pray for our enemies. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of community, we pray for our brothers and sisters at Faith Lutheran Church in Yuma, Arizona. Strengthen their lay leadership and their pastor, Doug Moffat. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Abiding God, your love saves. Those who died in the faith are made alive in Christ. We give thanks for your promise that we also will be raised to newness of life. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom, O Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Receive the benediction. God, the source of glory, God, the word of life, God, the spirit of truth, bless us all, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.